Please take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8. Today's Sunday, June the 30th, 2024. We're actually going to go to the book of Psalms, but want to read this verse in Romans 8 before we do that. And I'm sure you're familiar with the verse in 1 Corinthians 15 that says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most miserable. And that's true, because if this life is all there is, what's the point? And the reason we have the great hope is because at times in this life we face challenges, we face setbacks, obstacles, heartaches at times. But this verse in Romans 8:18 gives us such great hope. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this life we're living now, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Nothing we face or go through in this life can even be compared to what God has in store for us. And that's a great hope. But on the other hand, God wants us in this life to be happy, to be blessed. And so this morning, a very familiar psalm, Psalm 1, the very first psalm, God shows us how to be happy. Are you happy? And it's kind of interesting that the very first word of the very first psalm is blessed. Psalm 1:1, blessed. And that word means happy. Are you happy? We'll read the first three verses. Blessed is the man or the woman, anyone. Blessed is the person that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But in contrast to that, his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he or she meditate day and night. And he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his or her fruit in his season, his leaf, her leaf. Also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That picture over there on the wall that somebody, it's a watercolor somebody did. I don't know if they did it for both of us or if it was just a gift to Kathy, but I know that was one of her favorite pictures. We had that up in Iowa and in Minnesota and in California. And we've had it for a long time, but that is what it represents, a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it's a nice reminder of this verse. So back to verse 1, blessed means happy, happy. And God's going to show us how to be happy. So the first of three things, blessed is the one that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk means to move forward, proceed in your life. We're not to proceed in our life in or from the counsel or advice of the ungodly. Ungodly would be wicked people, sinners, those that do not have God as their standard. If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, then don't proceed or move forward in your life from counsel that you get from ungodly people. If you keep your finger here, there's a example of good godly counsel in 1 Kings chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole record. I just want to show you the prophet Nathan giving some very good counsel. King David at this point is old, weak, and they're trying to take care of him. And of course, Solomon is the one to replace David to be king, because that's what God said. But one of Solomon's sons, Adonijah, has different ideas, and he's already setting himself up to be king. David doesn't know it. Verse 11 of 1 Kings 1 says, "Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign?" He already set himself up. I'm the new king. "And David our Lord knoweth it not. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon." So this was very good counsel from the prophet Nathan, who was getting his information from God to not only save Bathsheba's life, but to save Solomon's life and to stop Adonijah from interfering with what God wanted done. So back to Psalm 1 again. "Blessed is the one that walks not, proceeds in his life according to counsel from the ungodly." The second one is, "nor stands in the way of sinners." Stand means to take a position. What's your position on this issue? Where do you stand with this? What do you think about that? Where do you stand? What's your position? We're not to take a position in the way or the path, or you could say the manner, the habit, or the course of sinful people. And sin, of course, is missing the mark, living contrary to God's word. If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, don't take a position or take a stand on the path or a course that sinful people take. People who are conducting their lives contrary to God's word. No matter how popular that position or opinion might be, no matter how accepted it is, no matter what a court rules, no matter what a culture promotes, something's either godly or not godly. Just as a sidebar here, in this election year, as you probably know and have already seen, we're going to be bombarded with information. And the founders of this country were not perfect people. But what they put in place, how much of what they put in place was ungodly? How much ungodly ideology influenced the beginning of this country? How many laws or policies were contrary to what the Bible teaches? So the founding fathers may not have been perfect, but what they put in place was definitely based on godly principles. So they may not have been perfect, but many of them were godly men, very brilliant men. And how was it that so many godly men, brilliant men, ended up working together at the same time in the same place in the world? Isn't that just awesome to think about? And it's wonderful to think about that. And I read some quotes and I put an article out on the website. I got a video of the United States Army band or something doing a rendition of My Country, 'Tis of Thee, America. It's really cool. And then I got a short article, and then I did some quotes from our founding fathers. And that's wonderful to look at those, but that was then. And for us today, it's not really a question of voting for an ungodly person or a godly person. The choice is not so clear. Back then, there were a lot of great godly people. And for those who decide to exercise their right to vote, many times people who do that see it as a possible way to stop some of the ungodliness, policies, and ideologies. But back to the scriptures. If you want to be happy, don't take a position or take a stand on the path or course that sinful people take, people who are conducting their lives contrary to God's word. And the third thing in that verse, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Sit means to remain, to settle in. Taking a position is one thing. Now it's I'm settled in, I'm dwelling. don't sit or dwell in the seat or the dwelling or where those dwell who scorn, mock, deride godly things. If you want to be happy, don't settle in with and where those who mock or scorn or deride godly counsel or godly wisdom. God's telling us here, choose wisely. So, quick review, if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, don't live your life or proceed forward with your life by the advice from ungodly people. Don't take a position or persist on a path or course that sinful people take. And don't settle in where those who mock or scorn or deride godly counsel or godly wisdom. Instead, the next verse says, but in contrast to that, his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Delight means to have joy, satisfaction, pleasure. It's not a choice. We don't go, well, shall I delight in that or not? Something's either delightful or it's not. And we're to delight ourselves, get our joy, satisfaction in the law of the Lord, or in other words, God's word. And for us, that's his written word, or what he may reveal to us. And in his law doth he meditate. What does meditate mean? The Hebrew word means to utter, to mutter, to groan, to speak, to ponder, to think or speak out to yourself. In this case, it's about what? The law of the Lord, God's word, God's word. We speak to ourselves about God's word. We speak to God about his word. Ever read some of the Psalms and they pray to God, utilizing what he's already spoken? It's a nice way to pray. We speak to ourselves about God's word. And then, of course, we speak to others about God's word as well. That's what we delight in. His word is a delight to us. And like I mentioned after that song, what a neat thing to speak to yourself. I have salvation. I'm not condemned. God is not condemning me. That's meditating on his word. I'm righteous before God Almighty. Isn't that cool? That's meditating on his word. That's speaking to yourself about God's word. Remember what Jeremiah said? Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah delighted in God's word, and we can too. Have you ever noticed that those who take a position contrary to God's word are absolutely not ashamed of their position that's contrary to God's word? Oh, saw somewhere that some of the proud group have added another word, loud. We're loud and proud. That's right, loud and proud. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel either, right? Why should we be? We're delighted in this wonderful word of God. And that, you know, it doesn't mean that we're arrogant, that we walk around like we know it all, right? Go around trying to shove it down somebody's throat. You need to believe this because... No, we don't do that. It says in the Epistle of Peter, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to any man, any person who asks a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and reverence. So yeah, we speak God's word in love. We'll shove it down people's throat, but we're not ashamed of God's word. Not a bit. And of course, Jesus Christ said, let your light shine. We're not secret agent Christians. We say, God bless you and love the Lord and sing praises just Sunday morning. After that, we blend. We just blend in. No. We let our light shine when and where we can with the love of God in our hearts. But you only get to that point by delighting yourself in His Word and meditating in that Word. And it, what is it? It look, read that again. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. You know, not 10 minutes in the morning. Wow, God's Word's great. Love you. Now. But throughout the day, meditating day and night. We speak God's Word to ourselves. Take a look at Psalm 19, a little meditating on God's Word. Psalm 19. Look at verse 14. 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We meditate, we speak God's word to ourselves, we remind ourselves of the great truths that we've learned from God's word. Look at Psalm 63, another psalm of David, as was 14. This is really cool. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. What a beautiful psalm. What a great heart. And that's the meditation of God's word. Meditating on it. Look at Psalm 77. Look at a couple more. Psalm 77, verse 12. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Oh, perhaps we should get some context to this. This is somebody that was not happy. Somebody that was very discouraged. You ever been to that point? Verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Of course, God always hears. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. That's a pretty low spot. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine hand waking. I'm so troubled, I cannot speak. What a low point. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Yeah, sure was great back then, not now. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? God's just not going to bless me anymore? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Does that sound like a happy person? No, not at all. And then he says, has God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies, Selah? God's just not going to be gracious to me. And he's forgotten to be gracious. Maybe he's just angry with me. Verse 10, light bulb. And I said, this is my infirmity. Yeah, all that kind of thinking, that's not good. but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And now he's going to get his thinking into God and who God is. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Wow, there's a 180 for you. Has God forgotten to be gracious? There's no more blessings for us. Oh, our God is so great. Look at this change. You are the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, and the waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Somebody's changed their mind, haven't they? Isn't that beautiful? And it was meditating on the law of the Lord, meditating on God's word, making his mind go back to think about how good God is, how great God is, and telling himself that. Oh, it's just beautiful. Psalm 104. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Isn't that a cool verse? Also, a couple more. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. See that? Meditating in his law is thinking about God and what he said, what he did, and telling ourselves that. In Psalm 143. And then we'll go back to Psalm 1. Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Let's go back to Psalm 1, if you would. Remember what God told Joshua after Moses died and Joshua took over? You don't need to turn there, but in Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, this book of the law, in other words, God's word, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, happy and prosperous. Psalm 1, blessed is the one that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Two verses. God, like a loving father, don't do that, but do this. You know, like a parent would say, don't ride your bicycle in four-lane traffic. Use the bike trail. You'll be happy and blessed and not mashed. So God tells us to do this, and the result of doing it is in verse 3. The result, it's like that picture over there. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, good place for a tree to be, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Bring forth his fruit in his season at the right time, at the right time, and prosper. And prosper is more than just money. Prosper means to reach the desired end. Things turn out in your life so that you're happy and blessed. Happy, blessed, and prosperous. God wants us to be happy, blessed, and prosperous in this life. Not slug it out till the end. Not get up each day and go, oh, sheesh. I wish the return was here today because I can't take it anymore. God, you got to send him back today. And you know, we can pray for others that their lives will be blessed. We do. We pray for people. We make intercession for people. But God's not going to overstep their free will, right? We definitely pray that things turn out well for them, but it's up to each individual to believe and to trust God. So, the key to happiness and prosperity in three verses. If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, then don't live your life or proceed forward with your life by the advice from ungodly people. Don't take a position or persist on a path or course that sinful people take. Don't settle in with and where those who mock or scorn or deride godly counsel. Instead, we delight ourselves in God's word. And every day, throughout the day, in the morning, in the afternoon, at evening. What's that? David said, on my bed, getting ready to go to sleep. Throughout the day, we think about God and his word. We speak his word to ourselves. And also, we look for open doors where we could speak the word to someone else and help them. Why? So they can be happy too. So, are you happy? We know we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, but are you happy? Well, if you're not, there's the answer. So you can get happy. What was that song? Don't worry, be happy. A fun song, but it didn't really mention verses 1 and 2 there about getting happy. So, but now we know. So Father, thank you for all the blessings that you've given us through our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How blessed we are with those blessings. What a great hope we have to look forward to. And Father, may we meditate, remind ourselves of those great blessings that you have given to us freely through Jesus Christ, that we are righteous, we are sanctified, there is no condemnation. We are lovely and acceptable in your sight. We are your dear children. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have your gift of Holy Spirit. We can manifest spiritual power. We can speak to you divine secrets by way of speaking in tongues. We have so much to be thankful for. And Father, may we make the time and take the time to think about and meditate upon all that's in your great word. And Father, that in addition to all that, you would just want us to be happy till you send your son back to gather us together. And that's going to be the happiest of all. So I pray and thank you for everyone here, those on the hookup, those that may hear this later. Thank you for the great privilege of teaching your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.